Amen. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Boy, I'm not sure that was very exciting. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Even though our first service was much, much larger and they had maybe a little more energy, I know you got it within you. This is a good day. Amen. It's Christmas. Amen. It's time to celebrate Jesus. I'm glad you're here. Even if you're not, I'm glad you're here. I think about Christmas, and I think about the joy it brings. Remember when we were little? There's a few little ones here. The excitement, the anticipation, the guessing, the shaking of the stuff under the tree. And it seems like as we grow older, we don't get excited about presents maybe, but there's still the excitement. We're celebrating Jesus. We're still celebrating Jesus. And even though amongst us there is excitement and anticipation, maybe we're going to have family gatherings, maybe we're going to be able to come to the 4:30 service and there's going to be a lot of singing, a lot of music, and it'll be a great time. I hope that you can come. But there's also sadness. Casey mentioned our prayer list, and you can see that in your bulletin. And Christmas is hard for some people. And so I pray that you will be aware, and some of you are keenly aware, but be aware of the names on that prayer list. I was talking to a family at the earlier service, and some struggling with cancers and leukemia, they won't be home for Christmas. They will spend their time in the hospital. Some others won't be with their spouse, their child, or their parent because they've lost them this year. So even though there's great joy in the celebration of Jesus, recognize too there is sorrow and heaviness in many. Pray for them. Encourage them. I want to talk this morning about the miracle of Christmas. When you look through the scriptures, there's a lot of scripture, Old and New Testament, all pointing to Jesus. And it's very common that we would read through Luke chapter 1 or Luke chapter 2 or Matthew chapter 1 or Matthew chapter 2. They're wonderful Christmas stories, but and we might include in Isaiah 7 or Isaiah 9. They're all connected to Christmas. But I want to connect some other dots today and read some other scripture that's also connected to Christmas and remind us of the miracle of Christmas. Let me start with a different miracle at Christmas first. I read this a couple weeks ago. Ed and Julia were heading towards home in Mesa. They were traveling a long desert highway in Arizona. It was Christmas Eve. It was 1931. And all of a sudden, the car tire blew. There they were in the desert. And on the side of the road, the story said, Ed set out to work on the flat tire while his wife surveyed the desert scenery around him. Then she heard something, the story says. She thought it was a faint wailing. Unsure of what could be making that sort of sound in that desolate area, she went looking, and she spotted a hat box. It was alone there in the wilderness of the desert, maybe 150 feet off the highway. She heard another muffled little cry. Ed and Julia went over and inspected the hat box, and they discovered a baby. Abandoned, this baby was out in the desert all by herself. How in the world, they thought, did this baby get here? She was wrapped in a blue blanket, and she was snuggled into this hat box. How did she come to be there? It was a miracle that anybody would find her before the worst would happen to this baby. God had protected her. God had also protected and provided Ed and Julia, this young couple, who took care of her, took her to the authorities, where she was later adopted into a loving home. A miracle, no doubt. Someone probably in complete desperation left the baby there. Maybe in hope someone would find her, and maybe worse. Her name was Sheila Elliott. And Sheila was 55 years old when her adoptive mother, 55 years, when her adopted mother told her she was in fact adopted. Learning that she had been found 150 feet from a highway in 1931 in the desert by an unlikely passerby who just happened to have a flat tire at that moment in that place was hard for her to process. But she realized her life started with a miracle in that desert. It just was a lot to digest. Though Sheila never got to meet her birth parents, she had an investigative journalist by the name of John Diana working tirelessly with her to try to uncover the truth. She never knew why her parents chose to leave her abandoned in the desert. There were some clues, but there were no answers. Whatever the reason, she concluded, as the Bible says in Psalm 139, it says this, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." She was raised in a loving home. She lived a rich, full life. She lived to the age of 86, and she passed away just 5 years ago in 2018. Though Sheila lived much of her life unaware of her first Christmas, she was indeed a miracle baby. But that's not the only miracle at Christmas, is it? Christmas is the story of a miracle baby. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because of the miracle baby. And as I mentioned, the miracle baby is talked about in Luke 1 and Luke 2 and Matthew 1 and Matthew 2. But I don't want to refer to those today. I want to refer to something else. The book of John doesn't talk a great deal about the birth of Jesus, but I want to refer to John just a little bit because he definitely talks about the coming Jesus. And I want us to think about the miracle of Christmas. You see, in John 3:16, we all know what it says. We all know what John 3:17 says. But John 3:16 reminds us, "For God so loved the world," that's all of us, and everybody between that time that Jesus was born and whenever Jesus returns, "God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son." That's Christmas. And I love verse 17 that says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's Christmas. That's why he came. And in John 1st chapter, we all know what the first verse of the first chapter says. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That word, W-O-R-D, is describing Jesus. And then in verse 14 of John chapter 1, Casey referred to this 2 weeks ago, it says this. I wanted to show you a little different translation because I like the way it says. This comes from the Message translation. John 1:14 says this, The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's Jesus. That's Christmas. We saw, John writes, the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. That's the story of Christmas. God moving in to the neighborhood. That's good news, amen? That's a miracle. God becoming flesh. I also love what the Apostle Paul says about God moving into the neighborhood in Galatians 4:4, when he says this, but when the fullness of time had come, what's the fullness of time? It's the time that God said, now's the time. Angel Gabriel, go talk to Mary. Go talk to Zacharias. Angels, go announce to the shepherds. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, Paul writes, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons and daughters. That's Christmas. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. You know, when I think about that little phrase, in the fullness of time, God knew that there was going to come a time in history that he would send forth Jesus. It's talked about as far back as Genesis chapter 3. But he knew at that precise moment, in the fullness of time, he would send forth his Son, Jesus. That plan of God begins to unfold with these angelic visitations, and a teenager that becomes pregnant, didn't even know how she did, but she understood it and she took it by faith. A very bewildered fiance, more angelic announcements to shepherds in a field, and a baby finally born in a cattle and sheep dwelling and placed in a manger. In the fullness of time, that's what Paul said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. That's Christmas. And I like what he says when he says, born of a woman. You see, this would not have needed to be said if Jesus was not God. So he includes this, born of a woman, because this child was God, born of a woman. If it was just a human baby only, that would be naturally born of a woman. But this child, he includes this, born of a woman, because this child is God. That's why we call him God incarnate. And so Paul says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. God coming into the world as a baby, born of a woman, born under the law to rescue us from that system, to rescue us from sin. That's Christmas. In Matthew's account, I got a couple more verses for us, all to do with the birth of Jesus. In Matthew's account, in the first chapter, we know the story. Joseph finds out that his engaged, betrothed fiance is expecting a child, and he knows it's not his child because he knows what it takes to produce a child, and he hasn't been part of that. And so he's thinking about writing her a certificate of divorce. That would be the easy way out because the Old Testament law said she should be stoned. And while he's thinking about this, Matthew writes, but while he, that's Joseph, Matthew 1:20, thought about these things, getting rid of her or writing her a certificate of divorce, why he thought about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if he knew what that meant or not, but it gave him some inclination as to why his fiance was pregnant. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then the angel tells Joseph, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And then the angel says, the miracle of it all, for he will save his people from their sins. That's Christmas. Welcoming the Messiah, welcoming Emmanuel, welcoming the Christ. Why? He's coming as a baby. Yes, he's coming to teach and preach and to heal and all those other things, but he's coming to save people from our sin. That's the story of Christmas. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And quite obviously, before he could die, he was born in a stable and laid in a manger. That's the Christmas story. God had to be born in order to die, in order to rescue us from sin. That's the whole story of Christmas. In Luke chapter 2, after he has been born, after the shepherds had visited Mary, after he had been circumcised, there comes a point in time when Mary and Joseph need to take the baby to the temple for the dedication process according to the Mosaic law. And so we pick it up in Luke 2:25. It says this, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him, that's Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. In other words, the Holy Spirit impressed upon Simeon, you're old, you will die, but not before you see the Messiah. And so, the Bible says, he, that Simeon, came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, that's Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, that Simeon, took him, that's Jesus, up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Isn't that beautiful? He knew as an old man, he knew that God had told him, you will die someday, Simeon, but not before you have seen the Messiah. And in comes this baby, while Simeon is in the temple, and he takes his baby and he rejoices in his spirit, and he said, in essence, now I will die, Lord, because my eyes have seen how you will rescue your people. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. That's the story of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas. Friends, Christmas is all about God giving us his gift, this perfect gift. And when you think about it, the gift that every human has ever needed. That's the gift we need. The gift of Jesus. The angel said in Luke chapter 2, when that first one came to the shepherds in the field, the Bible says, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they, that's the shepherds, were greatly afraid. And the angel said this, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angel is proclaiming this message to these shepherds. They weren't the most important people on the block, but the angels brought the message to these shepherds and said, in the fullness of time, in essence, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us from the law. The angel said, do not be afraid, because I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the miracle of Christmas. God has given us the Savior, the miracle of the virgin birth, the miracle of God becoming flesh, the miracle of our salvation when we turn to Christ by faith and trust Him, the miracle of Christmas. And I know that you know this, but let me just close with this. When we receive maybe a little something at Christmas, and it's still wrapped up in that paper or that box or that bag or whatever, if we left that present under the tree or on the mantle or wherever else, that present, that gift wouldn't do us any good. It's the same with Jesus, friends. God has given us this gift. But if we don't receive the gift by faith, the gift does us no good. Are you hearing me this morning? This gift is the greatest gift that we could ever possibly get. God, in the fullness of time, saw fit to offer to us His Son. This is the gift we need. But if we never receive the gift does us no good. It's just like if you get one this evening or tomorrow morning from your family member or your friend or whatever, and you never open it, the gift does you no good. It's the same with Jesus. Until we receive this gift by faith, this gift that God has given to us, doesn't do us any good. John 1:12, I'll close with this, says this. John is writing about Jesus. To as many as received Him. You say, Jim, what's that even mean? It means that I believe He's real. I believe the virgin birth is real. I believe that He was God in the flesh. I believe that He came to die for us. Receiving Him means I believe all that and I receive it by faith. And so John writes to us, to as many as received Him, to them God gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed on His name, John 1:12. That's the miracle of Christmas. God giving to us this gift to enjoy, to benefit from, to receive. But if we never get around to receiving it, the gift does us no good. So I just want to encourage you and ask you to think about this morning, friends, as you think about the other gift or two that you may get this Christmas season. Have you received the greatest gift? Have you received Christ by faith? It makes all the difference in the world. Because if we never receive this gift and we close our eyes in death, we won't be part of heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He's gone to prepare a place we call heaven. But if we never receive the gift, friends, you say, well, Jim, I believe in God. But the Bible says, to as many as received him, that's Jesus. To believe in God is good. To believe in Jesus is good. But it's a faith thing. Have I received Jesus by faith? You say, Jim, I don't even know how. It's a simple asking Christ, I believe in you, saying to Jesus, I do believe in you, Lord. I do repent of my sin, and I do want you to be Lord for me. I know you died on the cross for me. I receive you by faith. You see, friends, heaven is all about Jesus. It's not about I became a member of a church or I didn't become a member. It's not about, well, I was baptized or I wasn't baptized. It's not about, well, I've been a pretty good person after all. It's about Jesus. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed on his name. It's all about Jesus. And so this Christmas, I pray and trust that you'll remember the miracle that God came to rescue us, that God was born in a manger to rescue us from the system and from sin. And I pray that if you've never received that gift, that you will do that. Receive him by faith and live for Jesus. 4:30 this afternoon, if you'd like to be part of our Christmas Eve service, it'll be a wonderful celebration. I hope you can. But if I don't see you again, Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of you even loving us to the point of sending your son to die, to be born, yes, but to eventually die in our place, to raise from the dead and who is now seated at the right hand of God. Thank you for the miracle of Christmas. Thank you for the promise that John gave us that says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Help us, Lord, if we've never quite got to that point of receiving Christ by faith, we would do that this Christmas before it's too late. Help us to receive Jesus Christ by faith, by simply saying, Father, forgive me. I believe it. I believe it all. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Take control. Take control of my life and lead me. And so, Father, I just pray that you would be with each person here, bless their Christmas time, be with those that are lonely, be with those that are hurting, be with those that are sick, oh God. Help them to experience the peace in spite of troubles, in spite of circumstances. Help them to experience the peace that Jesus provides. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.